tell you something else. Jimmy Allen, I know Jimmy Allen, right?
Yes.
Okay. He told me we were talking. He said, you know, Brad, he says, I grew up and there was a lot of staff I looked up to. Grew up, right? He said, a lot of staff I looked up to. He says, every imaginable sin has happened since that point people on staff. There's staff people that have been in prison, okay? Drug addicts, sexual issues, everything. You might even know someone, okay? And I mean, I told you what happened with my kids, and then, and you know, one thing I just tell us people, you do not need to discuss what the sins are, you know? Okay, can you discuss with somebody else? Sure. Okay, but we all have sins, and we don't need to discuss them. I listened one time at church, a guy gets up there and started talking about his sins, and he was a professional athlete. And I sat there listening to him brag about all the sins he did. I was like, I don't want to listen to this stuff. It's irritating, okay? I guarantee you we all fall. Your parents, and this, I get this, I tell people, okay? Your parents have mistakes, they're not perfect. Okay, they love you. They're going to fall too, and they have sin issues. And you may look at them and go, well, they, you know, at church he's like this, but when he gets home, he has these issues. Yeah, I haven't met a family yet, not one that didn't have issues. Okay, no matter what you think, you're like, well, sometimes kind of baby, because everyone's kind of baby. Church, they go home, and it's not the same. Well, the reason is because, you know, I don't want my issues to be showing up in front of you guys. But I have issues. Okay? I have struggles. Okay? What? I sit there and I go, what can I teach? What can I say that's going to get you all to walk for the Lord for the next 20 years and not fall away like I've seen so many others? Okay? I mean, in the youth group that my kids were at, okay, my son, as I already told you, is struggling. One of his best friends, while he was serving, I want to be careful because I don't even know who it is. He may or may not. I don't think he has to know who it is. Okay? While he was serving in church in a function, said, I'm an atheist. Okay? His dad was a teacher in the church. Okay? He just said, I'm an atheist. Okay? I mean, it's just mind-boggling. People going to prison. I mean, I can just tell you. I mean, I'm 57. Don't hold it in. But anyway, 57. I've watched it just time and time again. In the group this big, some of you are going to walk away. I mean, I wish. What could I tell you? What could I say that could keep you all walking the Lord? So let's go back to it. Is it fear of punishment or is it rewards? What can keep you from walking away when you hit your mid-20s, late-20s, and life is now hit? When you're a teenager, you know, things are changing, but let's just face it, you got your parents in general. I don't know if any of you guys are on your own, but there's a point when life hits, okay, and your parents aren't there anymore. And they may be, but you gotta live. You gotta, you know, get married or this or that. And I've seen people get married. Do you guys remember that book? Make sure some of you read it. He said that Kiss Dating Goodbye. You guys ever heard about that book? Okay, that was a big book. I kissed dating goodbye. A guy said, you know, dating is the most useless thing. He really believed in, you know, not in arranged marriages, but let's get together and let's, you know, we don't go farther without parental approval and all that. Okay? Last year he made news. I kissed Christianity goodbye. That was his new book. Okay? He had an adulterous affair, left his wife, and decided to kiss Christianity goodbye. Okay? It's all around us. And we're going to talk about that tomorrow. Okay, Satan is attacking. He's attacking big, and he's attacking harder than he ever has. And it's happening in America. If you want to stand up for Christ, does anybody know that verse? What is one promise you have? If you want to live for Christ, you will what? Anybody know that verse?
Suffer.
People gonna make fun of you? People are starting to get people in America trying to take care of their families are being thrown in prison for going to work. Okay? Because they were going to work during COVID and they were the most horrible people ever or something like that. Okay? So what can I say? Somebody tell me, okay, not necessarily for yourself. You've got friends out there. You've got Christian friends at your churches. You got your, you know, people aren't here. What works? Punishment, fear of punishment, or reward? What would work? Tell me. Somebody tell me something. What would you tell your friends to keep walking in the Lord? Tell me. Yeah.
I'm saying, this is like fear of punishment or reward, but just surrounding yourself with good encouragement, good strong believers that will keep you accountable for what you're doing, and that you also do that to them, so that not only you stick with the Lord, but they stick with the Lord too, and so you can be an encouragement to them. And also along the lines, I think you noticed yesterday, I raised my hands to vote. So I think that a mix of both is a good encouragement and a good motivation.
Okay. I would absolutely agree 100% with him. Okay, I was raised, my parents were atheists. Okay? I was raised under an atheistic flag. I was free to choose whatever religion I wanted to. So when I became a Christian, my parents went, now I got what? Okay? And you know what? My dad passed away 2.5 years ago, and my mom last week told me, how could I become a Christian because I watched you? I mean, that was the greatest thing somebody could say to me. My mom, who was probably going to pass, going to hospice, okay, told me that she is a Christian. Okay? And my life, I had to, I'm going to tell you guys something. I wanted to go to Bible college really bad. I had become a Christian. I was trying to serve the Lord. I really wanted to go to Bible college. Okay? You know what my parents said? Pay for yourself, kid. We don't think you should. Okay? Now, what would you tell me if one of your friends right now is trying to go to college and their parents, their atheistic parents told them, you go, we're not paying for it. What would you tell them? Somebody raise me a hand. Tell me. Your friend, yes.
The Lord will provide.
The Lord will provide, okay? Well, I'm sitting there and going, okay, what do I do? And you're saying the Lord will provide. So I should, okay. I'm just asking, okay? The Lord will provide. What would you tell your friend? I'll find it. Well, you guys aren't very good friends. What are you going to tell your friend? Come on. Tell me. Yes.
I would pray with them. I don't think I would have any advice or anything to say. I would say, what, maybe read scripture out loud. Maybe go to places in the Word where it talks about that God promises to provide, and then I would pray, because I'm not the one who has any kind of wisdom in that situation.
Okay. So you would pray. You're giving good admonition, Ella. I like that.
Yeah, along the same lines, just seek the Lord in prayer and also just be a good friend to them, encourage them that if you are doing things to serve the Lord, to seek the Lord, He will provide for you. He won't say, oh, you're trying to seek me, I'm not going to allow myself to be found. He promises us that if we seek Him, if we read His Word, He will give us understanding, and that's in 2 Timothy 2:7.
Okay, good. Anybody else? What do you tell your friend? You can't have very good friends. Come on. Boy, you can't have very good friends. So let me tell you what happened in my life. I read the Bible. And I was an evolutionist through high school. Okay, even though I had become a Christian, I was an evolutionist. You know, like, how can that be? I never read the Bible. I was from an atheistic family. Okay, I go into church and they talk about Adam and Eve, and I'm like, who are they? You know, you guys are like, oh, that's right. Well, my kids didn't have that issue. I taught them from day one, just like most of you probably have. I was an atheistic family. I didn't go to church. I went golfing on Sundays. The only way they could get me to go to church, okay, was when they played tackle football. We had a great tackle football team. I'll tell you about that in a little bit. But anyway, so I didn't know where to get to church, okay? So I was an evolutionist. Okay, guess how I became a creationist? Okay, because, oh, what book did you read? Did you read Ken Ham? Did you do that? No, I finally got out my Bible and read Genesis 1. And that is how, because you realize, I never read a Bible. I didn't even have a Bible. Okay, so I went and bought, now some of you guys already heard this story, but I went and bought in the drugstore, they had this big giant Bible. I had no Bible in my house, so I bought this big giant Catholic Bible. It had a picture of Jesus on the front of it. Okay, and I took that to school with me. I'm like, well, if I'm a Christian, I'm going to stand up for it. Okay, that's my personality. All right, so as time went on, you know, I'm dedicating my life to the Lord, different things, no different. I got baptized finally at like 16, I think. So then the time comes. I want to go to Bible college. My parents say no. So you know what I started praying? I read the Bible. What does the Bible say about parents? What does it say to do? Honor. What did it say before that?
Obey.
Okay. Half the Christians I was around said, go to college. You know, go to Bible college. You'll figure it out. Do it. And then I had some other godly advice. He said, you know, if God really wants you to go to Bible college, he'll change your parents' mind. So guess what happened? I became a professional golfer. Okay? Because my parents never changed their mind. Okay, and I went out and tried to make the tour, didn't make it. You know, and so I became a teacher and got into teaching and all that. But anyway, point is, I decided to obey my parents. Okay, it wasn't fun. Every single thing, I'm going to tell you this right now. I mean, I could sit here and tell you all the great things I've done, and I could also sit here and tell you all the sins I've done. Okay? Every single blessing I have in my life, every single one of them is when I obeyed my parents. Every one of them. And by the way, I don't have Christian parents. May have been. I'm hopeful based on what my mom and dad said before they passed away. Okay? Every single area of my life that has been blessed and I have done well in has been because I obeyed my parents. Simple as that. Okay? Now, the number one parent is who? God the Father. We have our Bible. Now, he wants you to live for him. So he's telling you, here's punishments. Here's reward. Okay. Those of you in the back, you know how this girl goes, starting with the far back guy. 1 Corinthians 5:5. Get it ready. Next one, you're going to be ready with the word up. Revelation 21:4. Next one, Luke 15. Just go ahead and get it out. Matthew 5:19. Next one, you're from Matthew 5:19. Then we're going to go up John 13:17. Where are we at? Back to you. Oh, wait, you did it yesterday. Matthew 10:42. Matthew 16:24-28. Revelation 2:3, I'll say for myself. Where are we at here? Let's go back over here somewhere. I like you. 1 Corinthians 15:41. Philippians 4:8. Get the Bible again. 1 Corinthians 9:24-25. Okay, and they're separated for a purpose. Okay? Punishment versus reward. Okay? What is the biggest motivator? Oh, let's do it again. Who here, we've been talking about this, you have a day to think about it. Who here thinks fear of punishment is a better motivator? Raise your hand. And you may not raise your hand for both of them this time. No. Raise your hand if you think fear of punishment is a bigger, and there's no right or wrong. We already discussed it. Put it high so I can see it. Fear of punishment. Okay? Good. Rewards. Is that a better motivator? Put your hand up. Okay, so fear of punishment is winning by a little bit. Okay. Okay. How do you deal with somebody who says, so let's go back to this. I talked about this yesterday. All right. I'm going to live for the Lord, and you're going to live for the Lord. We have the exact same inheritance. Yes or no? No, that's still a question. I'm going to tell you guys something. I started getting into this a little bit too late because, I knew what I was going to speak on. I started working on it, been kind of dealing with some stuff. And as I started going into this, I'm going, wow, I'm just being honest with you. There was too much stuff for me to get studied up before I'm teaching you this. I'm just being honest, okay? I mean, I started like, whoa, there's a lot more stuff in there than I thought it was, but it's just a lot in the Bible with this. So I'm being honest with you. Okay, I studied, but once I started really getting into it, I was just like, I don't have time to finish this. I mean, it's just too much. Okay? So, if Kyle and by the way, I like Kyle a lot, because guess what? He grew up in a Christian family, I did not, but we have the same personality, I'm just like you. So if you look at me, and you're a lucky guy. Just letting me. Alright, so, okay, we say we're Christians. Okay? Kyle, He serves at church. He comes out here. He does this. He does that. Okay? I decide, I like this, and I like this sin. So I start living in this sin. I start going for this. I start going for that. And I don't deny the Lord, but I do not live for the Lord in any way, shape, or form. And you know exactly what I'm talking about. Okay? We both die. We go before the Lord. Is it fair that we both get the exact same thing, yes or no? Who would think we should get the exact same thing? Raise your hand. Oh, so we do think there's a reward system and we should get it, don't we? Okay, what about punishment? This is the toughest one of all. Punishment. Okay, who has 1 Corinthians 5, 5? Read it for me, please.
To deliver such gem 1 to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus.
Okay, I mean, this has got to be one of the hardest. I mean, I didn't read the whole thing. Okay? We're going to deliver you to Satan himself to destroy you so that your spirit is saved. How would you like that to be said about you? Okay? And I guarantee you there's probably somebody, well, I shouldn't say guarantee. There's probably a good chance somebody you know is at that point where somebody's only saying, we're going to deliver you to Satan because you will not repent from your sins. Right? That's a horrible thing. I mean, makes me a little bit fearful. I already told you, I got saved, so I didn't want to go to hell. Simple as that. Almost everybody got fear motivated a little bit there. Revelation 21, 4. Okay, God does something a little interesting there. He said, I'm going to wipe away your tears. Then he said, you're not going to cry anymore. Well, how does he wipe away tears? Tears, he's not going to cry anymore. Because there's a point that he has to wipe your tears before there is no more crying. Okay? What would you cry about? You're going to be in heaven. What are you going to cry about?
The time you wasted here.
Oh, that's a good one. I mean, I remember that. I started thinking about that when I was a point when I wanted to serve the Lord. I'm like, wow. I'm going to ask him, remember we're talking about talents and how God is going to reward people with cities. We're going to get to that a little bit more in a little bit. But what is one thing every single one of us has that is equal to everybody else? Okay? That God gives us exactly the same. He gives us 24 hours a day. He gives us 7 days in a week. And you now have this many years to live. Okay? We each have that same amount. He has given us a talent in time. What are we doing with our time? Well, if we use our time wisely, we may be given what? More cities to be in charge of. Okay? Crying. You can cry about your sins. You can cry, why didn't I do more for the Lord? What about my sins? Can I cry about my sins? We might. Don't know. But then there's a point where it's done. Okay? Now we're going to eternity. We're still going to talk about that in a second. Okay, Luke 15. There's a verse in there. Let's talk about it. You have Luke 15 out, but I'm not going to have you. Be ready to find it. Towards the end, I'm going to tell you what verse we're reading in a second. Okay, we know the story about the prodigal son. Okay? But there's something very important there. He asks his father to give him what? Before he leaves. Give me my inheritance. Give it to me. And what does it say he did? Gave it to him. And then what did that prodigal son do? He wasted it. Towards the end, let's see if you can find it here. Towards the end, he talks to the other brother. And he says to the other brother, okay, he says, all that is mine. Can you find that verse real quick? It's going to be right towards the end. 31. Can you read it?
And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours.
Okay. Now, when the prodigal son came back, they rejoiced. They killed the fatted lamb. It was a great day. Okay? But he tells the brother, all that I have is what? All that I have is yours. Because what happened, we never get told the prodigal son ever gets his what back. Be cautious of this. Those of you who think fear is a great motivator, that should be a motivator. Okay? We are never told that he gets the inheritance back. And again, as I said before, since I have a new person in here, I'm not positive of this. There's people who discuss this. There's some people who say you can lose the inheritance and it's gone. And others say, no, you can't lose the inheritance. Okay? I don't know which one it is yet. I have not made my mind up. It's still something I'm studying. I get back into it again with this, and I'm like, man. Okay? But that's a verse that bothers me. Okay? A prodigal son. Am I glad he comes back? Yes. Does he get to be in the joy of being the Lord? The joy of being with him in heaven? Yes. He won't cry anymore, won't do this anymore. But he did potentially lose his inheritance. Okay, you remember that. Matthew 5:19. Who is that?
Therefore, whoever elects is one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven.
Okay, so wait, there we go. This is a fear and a reward at the same time, like Kyle likes. Fear and reward at the same time. Okay? If you tell people wrong, this is why teachers, are warned. Okay, if you teach the wrong thing, you will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. Is there a pecking order in heaven? Just said it. Okay, I'm going to give you that here at the end of this. I told you the beginning's going to be tough, and it's going to be a little more fun. There's a pecking order in heaven. Okay, there's a pecking order with angels. There's a pecking order with the government God set up here. There's a pecking order. Of course, who's always at the top?
God.
Of course. Okay, and I love, by the way, that message last night, I don't know if you're listening, but he spoke a lot about what we were already talking about. Hopefully you caught on to some of that stuff. Okay? All right. There's a lot of negatives. Okay? There's a lot of fear. Okay? One last question before we move to the better stuff. Okay? What punishment could there be? Okay? That would motivate you not to get into a sin that is egregious. I'll just put it that way.
Can you rephrase the question?
All right. We have egregious sins out there. I mean, everybody sins, we know that. We struggle with different things, okay? And I guarantee you, if you are 16 years old and you're a male in here, I know what you struggle with. Every single one of us have, okay? I was going to say this, just driving me to the wall. I took my little nephew and my son, we went to a water park. And so when you get to the point you want to, there was a girl, there's a bunch of them, and these skinny little things, okay, and they're a 14, 15-year-old girl, and they got curves, okay, and one of them was wearing a thong. And I'm just like, am I trying to cover the eyes of my nephew who's 15, and I'm like, what? Okay, that is around us all the time in the U.S., and it's very difficult to get away from. Okay, except for me, I'm just not going to go to that place anymore. I just have no interest in taking my, whoa. And the Lord said, you better be paying attention. Okay, so, we struggle with sins, but there's a difference. This is very important. Okay, God says if you hate your brother, it's the same as what? Murdering them. Okay, so in God's eyes, it's just sin. But on this earth, there's a different punishment, isn't there? Okay, you murder your brother, that's egregious. Okay, you murder anybody, it's egregious. Okay, and I have a friend who didn't murder somebody, but it was called manslaughter because he got high on drugs and ran over somebody. Okay, and he was not a real strong Christian, I'm just telling you that, but yes.
Does egregious mean big?
Egregious means very bad. Okay, very bad. Good question. Okay, so, hey, tell me a punishment, because here's my problem. Okay, I have no desire to rob a bank or kill somebody, but you know what? I may have desires for drugs. I may have desires for illicit other things. See what I'm saying? But if I act on them and I decide I'm going to do it and I'm going to keep doing it, what punishment? Yes.
Mood changes.
Oh, that's good. That is exactly right. Anytime I've not been walking with the Lord struggling, my mood does change. That is absolutely true. Very good. What punishment? That's kind of a result, though. What punishment could there be? Okay, we just talked about some of them, right? Okay, this is a big million-dollar question that I don't have an answer to. And I told this from the beginning. I've watched two of my kids. They're in that situation. It's really hard. Okay? So I'm just trying to say, what does it take you? So you keep thinking about it. We're not there yet. Okay.
Red?
Yes.
Can I share a verse on that topic?
I'm sorry, what?
Can I share a verse on that topic?
Absolutely.
So there's a passage in Hebrews chapter 11, you'll probably hear about the hall of faith at the end. It says, but now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. It says, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. So you go through all these lists of people. You got Abraham and Noah and all these people that served and gave their life to follow God. Were they perfect? No. But through faith, they continue to walk with God. At the end of that chapter, it says, God's not ashamed to be called their God. So when Abraham stands up and says, my God is that God, God can be proud of his child that had walked with him his whole life. And I think that's perhaps a punishment, if you will, that God can be put to shame by our witness for him in the way that when we're faced with temptation and sin and stuff. And it's like a father looking down, and I look at my son, and maybe he doesn't see me, and he's going around, and I can see it. He enters into this moment where there's, you know, steal a cookie or not, and he's faced with that moral decision. And as his father, I'm sitting here watching him, and is he gonna please me and obey what I've hopefully instructed him to do the right thing, or is he going to choose to disobey, and that brings shame and sadness to me as his father. So I think that's right. The same with God.
Yes, Dad, you get that really well, don't we? Okay. Now, we're going to have a changeover. I told you it happened in the middle of the time.
10:22.
All right, John 13:17, read that, please.
If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them.
Excellent. Matthew 10:42.
And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly, I say to you, he will be not, by no means lose his reward.
Okay, stop a second. Ooh, think about that one. When you take care of a little kid, that's the Lord's, and you give him just a cup of water, it says you cannot what?
Lose his reward.
Interesting. Even if I've done all these horrible sins and I failed, there are some rewards I what? I can't lose. I may lose a lot of other stuff. But there are some rewards I cannot lose. There's one of them. Okay? Matthew 7 churches. Okay? We're going to read every one of them. And the other thing is, what is our main, remember our, what is our theme? Eyes on things above, not on earth. Okay? That's our theme. Okay? What I'm starting to get into now, and we'll spend, we may have spent a little time on it tomorrow too, even though we have other things. Get your eye, everything we see is going to be what? Gone. Our bodies are going to be what? Gone. There ain't nothing that you see is going to be left. Revelation chapter 2. All right, verse 10. At the end of it, be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Don't know if I want that one, but the Lord tells me to. Verse 17, the end of it. I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone and a new name written on the stone, which no one knows but he who received it. You and God are going to have a personal name between you two. That's kind of cool. Okay, verse 28, and I will give him the morning star. Chapter 2. He who overcomes and he who keeps my deeds until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations. We already discussed this. Okay? And what's your name again? Okay. Wouldn't it be cool if Elizabeth was in charge of about, 30 cities and 3 million people of the 60 billion we may have on earth? It'd be kind of cool, though. All right. I mean, everyone's walking up to you, and you get to rule them. Okay? Because, of course, you have a perfect body, and you're in perfect constant communication with who? Exactly. Okay? That's pretty cool. Chapter 5, verse 5. He overcomes with dusty clothed in white garments. I will not erase his name from the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Right to what Texas guy, Derek, the Texas guy, just quoted about. I mean, that's a cool thing to hear the Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Verse 12. He overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. He will not go out from it anymore, and I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God. Oh. We actually get to be named. I mean, we have a personal name, and then we're going to have God's name on us. I mean, that's pretty cool. Verse 21, he overcomes, I will grant him to sit down with me on my throne. As I also overcame and sat down with my Father. That's really cool. Okay, 1 Corinthians 15:41. Who has that one?
I do. The sun has one kind of splendor, the moon another, and the stars another. And stars differ from stars in their splendor.
Okay, so what I want to finish up today is, there are certain things that are definitely going to be differing about us. Okay? Some will be called the least, some will be called the greatest. We already heard that. Here's another really cool one. When you look up at the stars at night, and you can hear Turkey Hill at night, you can really see the stars. Right? Okay. How many stars are there? Countless. They're still counting, right? But some, they're just brighter. And then there's some you need like a magnifying glass to see. You know, and there's some really stand out, some are really dim, but there's just different prominent ones, right? God says right there, our spiritual body, this new body we're going to have, is going to differ in glory. Okay? You die for the Lord because you're in one of these countries that they're slaughtering Christians for not denying them. How bright do you think you're going to be shining? You're going to be one of the ones shining really bright because you gave your name, Lord. Okay? I mean, you gave up your life in the name of the Lord. Okay, those of you who choose to follow the path of sin, how bright can you get to be? You're really dim. That's something that's tangible. That's something to think about. Okay? Greatest. You can call greatest, we'll call least. You can have differing things. Philippians 4:8, who does that one for me? Yes.
Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is
okay, think about these things. Can somebody name me one of those things? Where can I see it? Where can I see those things? I'm looking. Where are they? Where are they? It's not something you can see. Every single thing mentioned in that verse is not something you can see. Now, you may be seeing somebody acted out. Okay? I love my son. Can you see that love? You might see me act it out, even if I spank him. That can still be love. See what I'm saying? So we can see these things. When we're talking about put our eyes on things above, not on earth, those things that we just mentioned, not one of them that you can see. Okay? Gee, he has a Ferrari. Let's look at that. Nope. 1 Corinthians 9, 24-25. Okay.
Do you not know that those who run in a race are all run, but one's received the prize, run in such a way that
Paul tells us that he was running a race. He was running it for what? You're fine. What was he running it for?
A prize.
A prize! Okay, it's okay. I mean, we do it because we love Jesus. We already talked about this yesterday. But I'm just honest. I'm not that spiritual all the time. Okay? I sometimes need to have something I think about to let me focus. Okay? I want to win something. Do we like to win? I watched the games yesterday. We like to win. Okay? God said that's okay. I put it in you. I want you to win with me. Follow. Look at that prize. Tomorrow, current events. I'm going to talk a little bit about this, a little bit more, and then we're going to talk about current events, and then Thursday is my favorite message of all. So we'll save that one. You know what? Since you're a guest, why don't you close for us?
All right, man. Father God, we thank you that you love us, that you care for us, thank you that you can be involved in what you're doing in this world. I pray for each one of us in this building and in this camp.